Welcome this morning on a blessed morning today, and we begin our service here at Zion for the fourth Sunday in Advent, or Lent, I mean, with the singing of our opening hymn, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing."
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, March 30th, 2025 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this morning's broadcast are Dennis Knauer, Linda McEwen, and Casey Jones. Our organist is Nancy Gunterman, and our opening hymn is number 528, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." Hymn number 528 in the Lutheran Service Book. The Kathy Beaver Memorial is sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God. Mike Rose is sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in honor of Kina Rose's birthday on April 7th.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in his stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit.
For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long.
For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer.
I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach him.
You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you.
Be not like the horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you.
Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord.
Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament for this, the fourth Sunday in Lent, from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 12th chapter, beginning at the first verse. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you are angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done graciously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The catechetical review. In regards to the sacrament of the altar, how can bodily eating and drinking do such great things?
Certainly not just eating and drinking do these things, but the words written here, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. These words, along with the bodily eating and drinking, are the main thing in the sacrament. Whoever believes these words has exactly what they say, forgiveness of sins.
The epistle reading from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 16th verse. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory be to thee.
Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey to a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his field to feed pigs. And as he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called to one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound.' Oh, but he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I've served you, and I've never disobeyed your command, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when his son of yours comes, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, For this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our Christian faith to the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of the hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 916, Today Your Mercy Calls Us, hymn number 915, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Sermon text from our epistle reading today. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The words of our text. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What wonderful words we have before us in the hymnody and in the readings, this acceptance of God the Heavenly Father. How he treats us, how he thinks of us, how he you know, no matter how much we've often wondered, it is our Father's home. You know, this idea that, you know, sometimes we wander away from home, sometimes we wander away from our Heavenly Father, and yet, you know, he doesn't say to us, well, too bad, so sad, get lost. We come back in humility and repentance, and he opens the door and brings us in, and like the prodigal, puts the ring on us, on our finger, the best robe on us, the shoes on our feet. How wonderful that is, to be treated in such a way. What great and glorious news. And seeing that verse from the book of Corinthians, how can we pass that verse up this morning? Here is the good news. Here is the reason for the things we do and why we do what we do. The worship, the singing, the prayers, the evangelism, all the things that we do in this world, helping other people to achieve the next world. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For our sake, for our broken and rebellious fallen humanity, for our benefit, purely out of love for us, he that is God the Father made him that is God the Son, the one who is sinless, God made him to be sin for us, so that in him, God the Son, we might be the righteousness of God the Father. Here is the great exchange. Here is what God has done for us. Here is the rationale, the reason for our objective justification. We are made and declared righteous in God's sight through faith in Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity, through God in the flesh. Christ's work for us on our behalf, his righteousness is imputed to us by faith. That is, we are made acceptable before God through the work of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Grab hold on that with your brain. Made righteous, made acceptable to God because of God's imputation. Roll this around in your mind. Him who knew no sin, sin he made. Him who knew no sin, 1 Peter 1, a lamb without blemish or spot. 1 Peter 2, who did no sin, he was made sin in our place. Jesus was tempted just like we're tempted, and yet he did not sin. He never bore sin, never bore fruit in his heart. He never had a sinful motive in his soul. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He did not bear the guilt of original sin. He, the second Adam, did not fall. He did not fall to Satan's schemes, and yet the sinless one becomes the sin bearer for us. Isaiah 53, he laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Son bore our sins in his body. He bore them on the cross. Jesus was made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on the tree. Jesus became a curse for us in our place in such a way that he died for all people. That means he died for you. He paid the penalty for sin in your place so that you might be the righteousness of God. That means that all is sin in us is charged against Jesus. He bore the guilt. He bore the penalty. He bore all sin in order to deliver us from the punishment that was brought on by humanity's rebellion against God. It is truly astounding that God the Son stepped into our place at the Father's bidding. But what grace we have received that the sinless one was made sin for us, so that we on our part might be the righteousness of God. God led the Son to the cross. The Son willingly accepted the Father's bidding to become enfleshed and to live and to die for us, so that we on our part might be righteous and declared holy in God's sight in connection with Christ's sacrifice for the sin of the world. This is our confession of faith. We, the churches of the Augsburg Confession,
We, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, believe, teach, and confess that we poor sinners are justified before God and saved by Him solely by faith in Christ, so that Christ alone is our righteousness. We believe, teach, and give all glory to God through Jesus Christ, our Savior, for He forgives our sins purely by His grace, without any prior, current, or following works or merits on our parts, and God reckons to us the righteousness of Jesus Christ and credits Christ's righteousness and holiness to your account, without any merit or worthiness on your part. To be accepted by God into His grace and are objectively declared holy and righteous in God's sight. Faith, then, is the gift of God given to us through the Word and through the sacraments. Faith is the means and the instrument whereby we appropriate Christ to ourselves and in Christ obtain the righteousness that avails before God. For the sake of His Son, such faith is credited to you as righteousness and holiness. Now, faith isn't just a mere knowledge about the Scriptures and the stories of Christ given by God by which we recognize that that Christ is our Redeemer. Faith is appropriating, taking to the self. Faith is looking to Christ and saying, for me, the Son of God lived for me. The Son of God died for me. The Son of God rose for me. The Son of God paid the penalty for sin for me. Satan would have you doubt those very words, for me. But it is the very thing that Christ has done for you. It is for you. Satan would be pleased to have you believe that Christ died for everyone in the world but you. For your sins are too many, too much, too big, too blatant. He would love to have you believe that. But you, for your part, take those words, Christ died for me personally, for me, for the sake of my sins, so that I might be righteous in the sight of God. Christ died for you. And it is faith that grabs hold of those words and appropriates it to yourself so that you might say, Christ died for me, that Jesus Christ was put to death for my transgressions and my trespasses, and He was raised again for my justification. Jesus Christ, though He knew no sin, was made sin for me so that in Him I might become the righteousness of God. It is Jesus whose obedience is credited to you as righteousness, and now, therefore, you are redeemed in Christ. And it has an effect upon you. It's not just something that sits there and does nothing. It changes you. It molds and shapes you. It helps you understand how you look at the world and how you understand the world. As Paul began this section, we now regard no one according to the flesh. Oh my gosh, don't we do that? Oh, we do that all the time. We regard other people according to the flesh. Our jealousy rages against people who make more money than we do, who have bigger houses than we do, and fancier cars than we do, and a better life than we do. We look at somebody who works hard at work and get our noses out of joint because, you know, they're sucking up to the boss, or whatever you want to say. But God says through the Apostle Paul, no, we don't view people as through the flesh. We are not to get jealous of people. We're not to get angry at people. We're not to be hateful towards people. How are we to view people then? How are we to look at one another? How are we to understand one another? We are to look at each other as people whom Christ died for. When we look upon our children, we look upon our children as those who Jesus died for, who need to be redeemed and brought into the kingdom of God. Thus we bring them to the waters of holy baptism. We look upon our families as those whom Christ died for. And when we're ready to punch our brother in the head, we look upon him as one whom Jesus died for. When we're ready to write our sister off, we look upon her as one whom Jesus died for. When we're ready to be angry at our parents for whatever reason, we look upon them as one whom Christ died for. This is what we do. This is how the Word has changed us. We are the ones who are bearing the Word of Christ to those who are around us. We are the ones who are to be patient with those around us, to see them as brothers and sisters in Christ, not just as people, but people who are our brothers and our sisters in Christ. Take Paul, for example. How did he view Jesus? He was angry at Jesus. He had his nose out of joint at Jesus. He was one who was miffed at Jesus. He hated Jesus. He thought Jesus was an offense to his sensibilities. And the devil was proud to have St. Paul believe such things. He had succumbed to the same temptations that our first parents did. This is the same temptation that you and I often fall to. You will be as God. You will be the arbiter of what is right and wrong. You will be the arbiter of your own salvation. right? You will be a God. God is self. Sin is true freedom, a freedom that your Creator refuses to give to you. So many people wish in our world to be their own Savior, to be their own Messiah, and it would be easy for us to scorn them, to write them off, to leave their salvation to another. But we are in Christ, and so we find this rule at work in us. When the love of Christ operates in us, we have the same interest in people to come to know them as Christ knows them. And how did Christ know people? He knew people as those dearly loved by God the Father. Christ knows them as persons for whom he died. And this is how the Lord viewed St. Paul. And Jesus called on St. Paul to serve him. And there on the Damascus Road, Paul had an encounter with Jesus. And Paul was changed. He was changed in a way that he saw humanity. He became the great apostle to the Gentiles, wanting all to come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved. So you too have encountered Jesus Christ. You have been called to bring, to be salt and light to the world. And it means that we do act differently. We treat others differently. It means our priorities in life change. When we look at our family, we are to see those for whom Christ died, for whom God incarnate, the man divine, shed his blood. And we do not want to see people in a fleshly way. Rather, we want to see individuals who need to hear the forgiveness of Jesus Christ proclaimed to them. They need to hear the message of Christ's death and Christ's cleansing blood. We need to hear of the redemptive sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the salvation won on Calvary's cross. We call to repentance and faith, proclaiming to all the message of Christ's death and his cleansing blood, which has the power to make us a new creation, transforming the far-off ones into children of God and bringing reconciliation and pardon to the entire world. Does this involve work in reforming our lives? Of course it does. Absolutely. Does it call for us to get on our knees in prayer at various and sundry times in our days, in our life, in our week? Absolutely it does. Does it call for us to carve out that time to look at our scriptures during our daily week? Yes, it does. Does it mean we will take unpopular stands in the world and be vilified by the world? Absolutely. Of course it does. Of course, but we are in Christ. We are redeemed. We are filled with the love of God. And in such a way that we look at our fellow man and we see them as Christ sees them. And we let, and as such, let us bring Christ to them that they may inherit eternal life. Is it going to be hard work? Yeah, it's going to be hard work. Is it going to be difficult? Yes, it's going to be difficult. But God did not call us to an easy path through Jesus. Jesus said, if they hated me, they'll hate you too. So we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, and if it leads us to our own personal cross, so be it. But let us go to that cross willingly and in faith that we will rise from the grave on the last day and gloriously receive our reward of eternal life in glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace that passes all understanding be in our hearts and minds with the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for the singing of the offertory.
You have been sharing in Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, where you just heard Reverend Mark A. Thompson deliver this morning's message. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 a.m. over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 217-732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 217-732-3977. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
We rise for our prayers. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. We thank you, O Lord, that you have sent your Son, our Savior, to bear our sin, and indeed that he who had no sin became the sin bearer for us so that we would be the inheritors of eternal life. May we who are redeemed come to view all people as those whom Jesus has died for, and in need of the preaching of repentance and faith unto eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. Father of mercy, remember your baptized children who have left your household and departed from the faith. Call them to repentance according to your gracious will. Remember parents, grandparents, and all who mourn their departure. Sustain them in faithful patience to wait and to pray so that they might return to the house of God. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, hear our prayers for all who cry out to you for mercy, healing, and help. Deliver them according to your will, and as you have made them a new creation in Christ, keep them mindful of the day when sorrow and sickness will be no more. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are all bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them. Read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 543, What Wondrous Love Is This? Hymn number 543, found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thanks to everyone who came and participated in the church work day yesterday. Quite a bit was done, a lot of dusting, a lot of cleaning. power washing of the brick and the front porch and all that got done yesterday, raking up the leaves in the parsonage backyard, and that was an entire truck bed worth of leaves over there. It was crazy. Anyway, so thank you to everybody who participated in that. Also, there are sign-up sheets for the Easter breakfast out on the gray shelf right now, bringing sweets or egg casseroles or whatnot. So there's some sign-up sheets and then a little wicker basket to set the sign-up sheet. That is really hard to say. Sign-up sheets over by the wicker basket on the gray shelf. So, and please take your time to check out the Zion's Light for all the activities going on at Zion this week, and our Wednesday night services, our Lenten services with a meal served by the Ladies' Aid this week. May the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.